where we are, Sam. The people who say the federal government is in charge and they are in control of the states and the counties and the people of this country, and that they can tell us what kind of gun we have and what kind of a magazine to use and whether what we can use them at all, and if we can have a gasoline stove or a gas stove or a gasoline car, or just how we act every day, it's absurd because that particularization does not exist, and Scalia is absolutely correct. It shows just the opposite. And so I again, folks, you can get these on our website, the Supreme Court case for state sovereignty, and it's only 16 pages. And if you wanted something for your children who are in junior high, high school, and college to understand a Supreme Court decision, the only time in history where sheriffs sued the federal government and won a landmark case at the Supreme Court. Yes, it has been hidden from you extensively and with malicious intent, I might add. But everybody should have this and everybody should see it, and everybody should give one of these to your favorite public official, county commissioners, state reps, your sheriff. Let's get these rolling, folks, because it is the miracle ammunition that we need to show them that the federal government is out of control and that they are not our boss. So that's a wrap.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We always want to focus on those quotes because it's the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in the history of the United States, and really shows that state and local officials have dual sovereignty with the general government. They are not kowtowed to, etc. As I teach it, the states created the general government. How could the general government be more powerful than the states? The creation is not greater and has never been greater than the creator. That's why we look to the great creator of the universe, God Almighty, in our lives. Sheriff, we've got an incredible guest. I'm going to introduce our guest, and then we're going to go straight to a story that I have and then to his topic. Our guest, Mr. Ray Silva, he's with MEJ.org. That's Medjugorje, Catholic Leadership in Alabama. Terry Colafrancesco is the leader of the organization. The spokesman today is Ray. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's good to be with you. Good to be with both of you.
Oh, man, there's so much to cover.
Good morning,
I just saw
bro.
An article.
Morning, Sheriff.
Go ahead, Sheriff.
I was just telling Ray good morning. Keep going, Sam.
All right. Excellent. So there's an article in Newser today, which is quite scary, but it fits so well to the topic. I had to talk about it before we put you on because it is so apropos to the reason that we have Ray on the TV and radio with us. Jen Gidman over at Newser is the one with this article, but here's the headline. Quote, Father Justin, quote, gets demoted after mighty strange claims that the AI chatbot was taking confessions and administering sacraments. I'm calling this sacrilege, ladies and gentlemen. This is blasphemous, in my opinion. We've heard about chatbots being Jesus Christ or pretending to be Jesus Christ. This one is interesting. They say, wouldn't it be comforting to have a priest accessible online? How about a man of the cloth that you could talk to anytime you want to, who can offer you solace and advice right from your computer screen? A group called Catholic Answers saw a potential in, quote, Father Justin. What is Father Justin? It's an artificial intelligence-driven chatbot. They say it's meant for the faithful, but after it had some strange responses and interactions, well, he's been stripped of his, quote, father status. Now it's just Justin. After he offered some unusual advice as a hardliner on sexual issues, the commentary that he puts out baffles Catholics and users. The big focus is on futurism. Yeah, there's oddities disseminated from this chat bot that caught the attention of so many people. Now it's in the news and it's been demoted. Despite being a quote computer generated chat bot, Father Justin was described by Business Insider as clad in black with a priest collar and a fatherly gray beard. Apparently offers the sacrament, offers confession. I'm as real as the faith we share, the bot claimed. And then they talk about this futurism, which we will get into with our guest. Before we go on, though, to the topic at hand today, I just want to say to me, this is blasphemous, Sheriff. Do you want to respond to this?
Well, yes, Sam. It reminds me of the scripture that says, no one takes this honor upon himself, but he who is called, as was Aaron. And Aaron, he's referring to, that scripture is referring to Aaron, the brother of Moses. And so you don't just get to go around and say, okay, I'm in charge now, or I'm a priest now. And you know, it's a calling. And that's what that scripture refers to. So that kind of surprises me that anybody would just take it upon themselves, contrary to the scripture.
Now, I get it. One person asked if a baby could be baptized, and the bot said in the affirmative, sure, no problem. And the problem isn't so much that they're providing answers to Catholic questions. If they clearly say this is a AI engine designed to, you know, bring forth true answers based on the Catholic faith, I wouldn't have a problem with it. My problem is that they tried to pass this off as a real ordained father in the Catholic faith. Now, I'm not a Catholic, but I'm incensed nevertheless, because again, a fake bot pretending it's a literal, you know, father in the church as a person, it's fake news. Ray, let's go to you. One of the leaders of a great Catholic, I don't know if you call it sect or group. What do you say to this kind of stuff? To me, this is blasphemy.
Absolutely, Sam. And actually, it reminds me, what you're saying kind of reminds me of a story of something that happened actually before Terry started Caritas. And it was something kind of similar to what you're saying here. He was actually at a Catholic mass, and a priest was saying things that ordinary people can do, the same things that priests can do. And it was just a lot of discounting the fact what Sheriff Mack had brought up, the scripture about only certain people are called to that. You don't just get that on your own, but that's something that is conferred upon you. And at one point, Terry just stood up in the middle of this priest's sermon, and he pointed his finger at the priest, like standing up in front of everybody, and he points his finger at this priest. And the priest kind of makes a comment in the middle of his homily saying, and he's up near the front of the church, so everybody who's in the church behind him could see him standing up at this priest. And the priest kind of says something like, well, I see that somebody disagrees with what I'm saying, you know, with his truth. And Terry says that you have a sick, twisted truth. And he sat down, and afterwards the priest was like trying to talk to him and shake his hand, like, oh, come on, Terry, everything's okay. You know? And Terry's like, you're leading people astray. You're leading people astray. And even people within the church who were in the nation were coming up and saying, like, oh, Terry, you can't be so about this. And Terry says, you've been living with this priest too long. This priest is, he's got you thinking things, tickling your ears, like what the scripture says. But this story, what you're saying about what this AI is doing, is that same thing. Only back then it was happening in real time. It was happening in real. This is like back in the 80s. So these are things that have been going on.
Remember,
for quite some time.
This bot responds in real time. People think it's a real person because the AI is getting so good.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, Terry talked about this recently in the radios, in his radio broadcast, that there are, especially with AI, there's going to be these attempts to make it seem more and more and more divine. Ultimately, we created it, though.
And that's why I go back to the creation can never be greater than the creator, ladies and gentlemen. My problem, again, isn't getting Catholic answers. If they just say, hey, this bot is, you know, designed and controlled and trained to understand the true faith of Catholicism, and we're going to lay out answers so you can get questions and answers. And hey, that's not a bad thing necessarily. Nothing but a great search engine to give you true Catholic answers. That's fine. But when it pretends it's a father, it pretends it's representing
know about the future or things that we know are coming in the future, but again, those that the ability for this bot, if you will, to accurately predict things or to create some kind of a new type of future, of course, again, going back to what we said before, this is something that we created. But if you go to medj.com, what Sam had mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, Terry's got a lot of information out there that he's put to kind of explain that there are things that we do know about the future, but that's coming to us supernaturally, not through thought.
And when we talk about the future too, we need to be very careful, because a lot of these people really believe the future is kind of encompassed in this global religion, or all these people are going to come together through the World Economic Forum or the United Nations or some other global thing, and they're going to kind of establish a virtual religion of sorts where they kind of control the parameters of the quote answers, as this bot's purporting to do. They're really trying to put man above God, machine above human. They're really trying to pervert the truth and merge these religious beliefs. You and I may not agree on all the tenets of religion or the theological, theology on things, but we agree that, God's in his heavens and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the Virgin Mary was a sacred woman who brought forth the Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we agree on the fundamentals. We agree on hope and faith and repentance and these things, this, if we're not very careful, might start even innocent enough, father, priest, but over time they'll morph that bot into being the leader of the quote global religion, denying all real religious worship if we're not careful, Ray.
That's right. And this is a term that years ago Terry started calling it creeping gradualism. It's a something that seemingly appears to be good, and it starts off very, very small. And it gains a little bit of acceptance and a little bit more acceptance, to the point where things that would never have been accepted in the beginning eventually just become accepted. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Sheriff? That happens a lot of places. And one thing, though, we've brought up Terry's leadership, and that you're but I don't know if you've actually said that you live at a compound community.
That's right.
Called Caritas outside Birmingham, Alabama. And as you mentioned, I've been there. Sam's been there. My wife has been there. And I don't know if you remember this, Ray, but I've always called you guys the Catholic Amish.
That's right.
But because, first of all, you live your religion every minute of your lives. I was so impressed with how you have, you still have the cows and the chickens, and you grow a lot of your own food, and you grow hay and grass and for the cows and feed for the chickens. And I actually watched while some of your chickens were butchered by some of the members that you have there. Good, hardworking people. And so, Why do you have this community, and what is it about? And is everybody welcome to be there and to come by? And Sam and I are not Catholic, as you mentioned. In fact, we're Latter-day Saints. We belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You guys already know that we're not Catholics. Yet you've invited us there. You've invited Jews there. You've invited Baptists there. And everybody's welcome. And that's why I love it, because everybody's welcome. And, we participate in your three times a day daily prayers. And so maybe let all of our viewers know what this is, why you have it, and where can people come to come by and see? How could somebody who wants to just come see it stop by? But anyway, explain Caritas to everybody.
Sure. Certainly. Yes. Yeah, so we've been looking forward to seeing you guys again, too. Actually, we were just talking about this yesterday with Sam. So we're hoping to do something soon. Terry's looking at some plans that he's formulating here. But, Terry started Caritas. The organization, its purpose was to spread the faith. And the real reason behind that is actually
And what
what
does
I had talked to
Caritas
Sam about.
mean?
Caritas is a Latin word that means charity or love. And its purpose really was something that was to spread the faith. What Terry saw was that there was a lack of faith, that it was not being taught. And he said, I'm going to start an organization to help just teach the faith and just educate people. And that's really how it began back in the 80s. It was actually in the early 80s. And its purpose was really that one thing alone. And it actually, what I spoken to Sam about Terry's new writing and his new movement that he's doing, the Peasants in the Pew, this was actually started way back when. It was a revolution, because what Terry was seeing, that there were elements in the church that were not only not teaching the faith, but that were teaching the wrong things, that there were things where there was a lot of predetermined outcomes, where people were he was he saw things where he could say, like, people were looked like people were being treated fairly, but really, there was agendas behind them to kind of lead people where they were, where these agendas were heading towards. And so Caritas was started for that purpose, as just an organization. And in the beginning, his first Catholic bishop told him, "Well, you can't do that." And Terry's like, "What do you mean I can't do that? Anybody can spread the faith. I mean, anybody can do that." And he was against Terry doing this because he was stepping out of the confines of the structure, and he was doing something to try to bring people to God. And he thought that the church would be excited about it, but what he saw is that the church was not excited about this. So he said, "I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to do this anyway." And just through the years, he became involved in the Medjugorje phenomenon, which is these apparitions of the Virgin Mary, where the Virgin Mary said God sent her to the world because there was a crisis of faith. And that the faith, a lot of the crisis of faith came because there were many Christians living like pagans. And that was the reason why there was so much darkness in the world, was not because there was so much darkness, was because the light was not strong. And so her call was for believers to become stronger believers, to live like Christians and not like pagans. And Terry saw this and he said, "This is what I'm supposed to be a part of. I realized this is what I had started Caritas for." And he completely changed the focus of the organization for that. And through his involvement in that phenomenon, one of the visionaries, Maria, which you have met, Sheriff Mack, you've met her. I think it was 2013, I believe. She came here to his home, and the Virgin Mary appeared in Terry's home every single day for 2.5 months. And she was giving messages, and these messages were something that were out of the ordinary of even what she was saying in Medjugorje. And in one of the apparitions, after the apparition, Maria turned to Terry and said, "Our Lady wants a community started here. The Virgin Mary wants you to start a community here." And he said, "Like, what do you mean, like a community?" And he had in his mind like an idea or a concept that he thought, something, that he could sense even when he first moved out here that was supposed to be here, but he didn't quite know it. And he gets this supernatural confirmation. So the call to start community was not, it wasn't something that was just like his idea, I'm going to just figure this out and make this community. It was something where it was a call given to him saying, "You start this. I've shown you things about the messages." And he was given certain understanding of these messages and of the scripture and of our faith. And so it was, he would needed to form something where people came together and lived it together. And that's how it actually had its origins. And so people
Well,
are
now,
the
just a little addition. Now, you have families there, there's married people there, there's children of
That's
all
right.
ages, and you have your own school there, right?
That's right. Yeah, what Terry saw was that it didn't make sense to create a new society, just like the early Christians. The Holy Spirit came, they came and they formed a community, and those communities, they split and they created new communities, and then those communities grew, and then they would split and make other communities, and that's how Christianity grew, which actually became the foundation of America, actually came from this creation of Christian communities. And
Now,
so go ahead.
and do you remember, do you remember what I thought the name of the place actually meant?
That's right.
Caritas? Do you remember what I said?
Was it Little Faces? Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes.
Yes, Rain. Because I speak Spanish, and caritas
Right.
in Spanish would be caritas, which means little faces. So I came to you guys, I think it was to you. I said, why do you call this place Little Faces? And then everybody explained to me that caritas is love or charity in Latin. So so I've learned a lot there, and I mean that sincerely. I have never met such a powerful Christian group of people in my life. And I love all of you. You can feel the love and Christian atmosphere when you're around the children, the adults, everybody. It is a beautiful community. And my hat is off to all of you. My love and devotion to all of you has remained the same for the decade and a half that I've been acquainted with you. And everyone, I recommend all of you go see this place for yourself, and it will make you believe in humankind and Christianity anew. So my faith in you and what you do and what you believe, that you practice what you believe, and that you made this beautiful community. How many people do you have there now?
About 30. It's about 30 of us. It's in
There's only
mostly,
30
there's
of
a lot,
you?
a lot of kids and,
Oh.
and back to what your earlier question about the school, that was what Terry was saying, was that his understanding was it didn't make sense to create something where you separated from society and made your own society
Right.
based in the gospel, based in these messages, and then send your kids off to a government school or even a private school. Where you will be, they will be
Right.
with other kids who have parents who may not have the same shared values. And that was one thing we saw at the conference that you and Sam were at, is that you had all these people of even different faiths that were there, and yet there was a common belief, shared values.
Amen.
And so
Yeah.
there's a big kind of battle between Sheriff, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, whatever. The World Bank, that they're trying to create a world government, and they want to basically merge all religions into one kind of master religion. And their master religion would take away, the Ten Commandments that God set forth. It would replace it with kind of the World Economic Forum's Ten Commandments of religion. Some of the religious tenets would be that you couldn't, have negative views towards transgender or towards people choosing their own sexual agenda, even at child age kind of stuff. It destroys religion on its face. And so what Ray is talking about in my mind is saying we can work together, hold on to our own religious tenets and beliefs, stick with the true gospel based on the viewpoints of the Catholics or the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or the Baptists or whoever. We can hold on to the tenets of our own religion and our own theology, but come together on principles we agree on: faith and hope and repentance and kindness and following the Prince of Peace and respect for the Virgin Mary and these kind of sacred principles. We can come together on that. But the plan that Terry and Ray and me and you and others have, we want to hold on to our beliefs and just respect one another, but work together for the common good of society or as a whole. These people want to change the whole guidelines and rules to where all the theological differences are erased and man-made guidelines rather than God-ordained commandments are the order of the day. And that's the big problem that we face. And so Terry, who Ray is the spokesman for in their Catholic, what do you call it, a diocese, compound, a place to live in their community. He put forth this, Terry put forth an edict, a proclamation, if you will, and they're calling it the Peasants in the Pews, kind of a mock joke statement, kind of acting like, look, you guys aren't kings and gods and world leaders and control everything. The peasants in the pews are God's children. And so we need to start to confront or challenge their spiritual leaders to protect the flock from these assaults, right?
That's right. And again, going back to, Terry started Caritas because it was a revolution, because the leadership was not teaching. And so this really goes back, you know, 30, 40 years of him seeing what's taking place and where the power really lies. And he's talked about this for a long time, is that the within the Catholic hierarchy, there are the local bishops. There is a bishop that covers every square mile of the world. There's not a single part of the earth's surface that does not have some Catholic bishop assigned to them. And so this is what Terry's saying. There's a lot of power there. There's a lot of authority there. But a lot of times he's seen that this authority is used to promote things that are meaningless, a lot of social justice causes, a lot of things that really at the end do not stand up for truth. They don't protect the flock. Some of the assaults that Sheriff Mack was speaking about at the beginning of the broadcast, a bishop could put a stop to those things, assaults against the personal liberty, and our ability to practice our faith, and all of these things. A bishop could stand up publicly and literally put a stop to it because, number one, he has spiritual authority. That's the whole perspective that Tim's from. He's got a spiritual authority. He has a jurisdiction. And even if you're not Catholic, he considers you, or bishop is supposed to consider you, his child, that he is still a shepherd, and you're still part of his flock, that he's supposed to still protect your faith. So what he was seeing is that this is not only not happening, but there's a silence from the bishops. And not only a silence, sometimes there's what he refers to as a nuanced language. Things are said, especially in election years, you know, there's things which are not outright said, but they're kind of nuanced and saying. And at the end of the day, a Catholic or any believer could walk away saying, well, I could vote for anybody according to what that guy is saying, you know. So, but there are truths, and that's what he's trying to encourage people to do, is like, we are the peasants in the pew. They're above us. And to kind of put it in perspective a little bit, Terry did a radio show about a year or so ago, and he spoke about the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And as scripturally, we know that the church is the bride of Christ, but it's become the bride that loves herself and not the groom. And so that's what's happening. And so we're seeing that a lot. And people who are peasants, the common believers, we're like nothing. It's almost like we're nothing to them. But again, the reason why he's pushing this forward through this edict about confronting them is they've been very much to public opinion, unfortunately, and they are bending to the wrong public opinion. A bishop stands up. You probably saw this in the news a week or so ago. A bishop in a private gathering referred to Biden as stupid. He called him stupid. Well, there was absolutely nothing wrong with what this bishop said. He was saying he's stupid. He doesn't know the faith. He's this, you know, whatever. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, wow, this bishop's saying something. And 3 days later, guess what he does? He apologizes. And so he got swarmed. And this is what, you know, Terry refers to as swarming. They'll swarm him, and, you know, he'll get bombarded by all of these things. And you need to apologize. So what he's saying,
I actually saw that article, and I totally agreed with the courage that bishop used to call Biden to repentance.
Mm-hmm. And then so basically the line, it just deflated.
The assertion is that the spiritual leaders in the United States, especially, but around the world also, especially in the Catholic Church, that's what Terry and Ray are saying, I would say in all kinds of churches everywhere, are weak in defense of liberty. They're weak against Biden and his assaults. They're weak against the transgender lies, the assaults of homosexuality, transgenderism. We go on and on. And where these bishops and these leaders, or other, you know, leaders in different faiths, they all kowtow to these agendas that are hostile to God's law. Male and female created he them, says God. The science backs it up with a XX and an XY chromosomes. There's nothing in any reality that refutes male and female gender binary, if you will. But yet they move along with this, and church leaders are going along, Ray. This is what the people, the peasants in the pews, need to rise up and say, no, 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 no. How dare you cross the lines of sacred writ from God Almighty? We don't have the choice to redefine what God is on earth.
They even have said that it's man, if they really believe themselves to be a woman, that they could actually get pregnant. Yeah.
And they put man-made things in place to mimic a real pregnancy, to mimic God's way. And this is blasphemy. And we need to be the peasants in the pew standing up. They treat us like peasants, but really, we are the children of God, right, Ray?
That's right. And if you remember the Terry's book, They Fired the First Shot, and which a lot of your listeners have probably read. He's got a whole section there about actually I had a copy sitting right here just so your listeners can or your viewers can see it. Yeah, I have trouble with this camera. Sorry, I'm going to move it real quick here. There it goes.
Yeah, there you right go. There. There you go.
So they fired the first shot in 2012. And so in that Terry talked about the shepherds. And there was two sets of shepherds he referred to. One of them was the spiritual shepherds, which were the bishops. The second was the secular shepherds, which were the sheriffs. And there's a whole section in there about the sheriffs. But there's a section in there that said that the churches played a critical role in the American Revolution. And of course, we know this, that in the beginning, it was the pastors who were the ones that were largely responsible for a lot of the things that happened in the Revolution. You go read the Declaration of Independence. Actually, Terry put the whole Declaration in They Fired the First Shot, so you can read it. And he's looking at it saying, read these offenses here against the king and compare them against the offenses today. And so back then, you had pastors at that time who were saying, these offenses are great enough for there to be a revolution. But if you think about what's happening today, that was the premise of part of the book, was to say, if you look at what's happening right now today, offenses are far greater against God's law, against God's people, against his spiritual leaders that should be the ones leading the revolution now, and their accomplices, actually.
Well, I've read that book, and it has a sequel that mentions sheriffs and me, and it's a great book. But that book, right, that you just mentioned, They Fired the First Shot, really exposes the political and spiritual corruption that permeates our society today, does it not?
That's right. And you won't be able to have, and that was the purpose of part of the book, was to explain that you won't be able to have a revolution, a bloodless revolution, without having a spiritual revolution. And if there's bloodshed, it will come as a result of our sin. It will come as a result of the fact that we haven't changed. That would be a punishment to us. But it can happen without bloodshed. And that would only happen if spiritual leaders stand up, and if the secular leaders, the sheriffs, if they're also willing to stand up.
Right. Wow. Well, what a great book.
It's a great book. They Fired the First Shot. And it really kind of talks about, you know, they are on the assault, destroying everything we believe in, all the hope that we have. Their goal is to divide us from our godly heritage. That's really what's happening. And that's why peasants in the pews need to stand up and say, no, we turn to God. You represent God, spiritual leader, only when you teach the truth about, you know, his commandments and his dealings with man on the earth. And when you teach principles that are correct based on the gospel of Christ released by the Holy Writ, right? And they're perverting that as the problem. And it's making its way into the church so much so to where they've got literally fake AI priests. They've got priests teaching false doctrine. They've got, you know, famous people in given churches that are destroying the true works of God. I just watched American Idol last night. David Archuleta's on there, and he's walked away from his church now, Sheriff Mack.
Oh, yeah, I know that. And, it's happening, and some of our church leaders have walked away from our church. But, Ray, real quickly, what's the name of the sequel that really deals a lot with the sheriff?
It's called The David Answer. The David Answer.
The David Answer. Yeah, and it was very similar to mine.
That's right.
Comes from my book, Are You a David? Yeah. So those books, everybody should read the book. What did you call it?
The David Answer. And you could get on
the David Answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my book is Are You a David? And I ask the same question to everyone. Citizens, are you a David? politicians, leaders, are you a David? Are you ready to answer the call? Are you humble enough in your position as a human and as a sheriff or county commissioner, whatever? Are you humble enough and strong enough to answer the call? And if we have, if there were ever a time that we need that, it's now.
That's right. And one of the things that, that Terry saw was, you know, the Virgin Mary was giving these messages, and there was a specific day that she was asking people to pray for non-believers. That's people who don't know the love of God. And she would give a message on that day, and she would always end it with saying something about praying, pray for your shepherds that they don't lose their way, or pray for your shepherds that they love their flock. And everybody, other people in the movement would look at these things and say, oh, that's so wonderful. She's saying to pray for the shepherds. And Terry would look at that and say, that's not positive. That's not positive what she's saying here. She's saying something negative in a positive way. Think about it. This is the day for non-believers. She's telling us to pray for shepherds on a day that we're supposed to pray for non-believers. Do you understand what's going on? She's saying that they're non-believers. Do you get it? This is what's going on. And he's been the lone person that has pointed this out, that, you know, that they have to be held accountable for their position, for their authority. They have an authority that's given to them by God. They're accountable to that authority. And so with his, with this movement of peasants in the pew, he's telling people, if you see a bishop at an event, confront him. If you write a letter to him, write a letter to every one of them. If you're not Catholic, write a letter to him. It's happened, you know, in such and such a place, and say a word. Yeah, you know, and it could be anywhere in the country. But just imagine if what would happen if people rose up and confronted them to make them do their duty. And that's really what he's really trying to get people to do, is make the pastors, make the shepherds protect the flock.
Makes sense. Well, that's just powerful stuff. Thank you so much. Sam?
All right, let's talk a little bit about a couple of other things here, because they relate to the Peasants in the Pews message. First off, have you read the book, The David Answer, by a friend of Medjugorje? Help people understand a little bit what Medjugorje is, and then I want to talk about Medjugorje and the Vatican. The Vatican is important as well. Tell me about that. What's Medjugorje?
So Medjugorje is a place in the former Yugoslavia, which is a small village of maybe 400 families. And in 1981, the Virgin Mary started to appear there. And a lot of times in the past, you've heard of Guadalupe and Fatima and a lot of these other places where the Virgin Mary has appeared. It's always been to awaken the faith in those areas. But Medjugorje was something that was different. It was something where the Virgin Mary was coming to awaken the faith across the whole world. And so what Terry saw when he got involved in the phenomenon is he started to see things in the messages. There were signs and there were miracles and there were conversions of people who were non-believers, and people would go there and their hearts would change and they would change their lives. And everybody was focusing on all of these things. But when Terry went there, he started to realize, or he saw that, well, she's saying things. There's messages that are being given and nobody's talking about these messages. And this is like in the early 80s, and he was being told, well, the messages are not so important. She's here to repeat the gospel to us. But he would look at these messages and say, no, these are saying things for our time, that in our time, we can understand what God's doing right now in the world. And he was ignored. People told him he was crazy. People told him he was putting too much emphasis on the messages themselves. But he kept coming back to it saying, no, the messages are saying something to us. The Virgin Mary said God's telling her to give us these messages. So we should be paying attention to what she's saying. And he saw things in the messages that were unique and different. One of the things that he saw is that the Virgin Mary said that these apparitions, she would give messages during these apparitions like never in history from the beginning of the world. And he saw that and said, well, if you have a heavenly being appearing sent by God to say, I'm going to give you messages like never before since the beginning of the world, then he was like, that's a big deal. But other people weren't seeing that as a big deal. He was the lone voice seeing this. And because of that, there were insights that he would see in these messages that allowed him to write things like what's in They Fired the First Shot, some of the other books like The David Answer. These are actually books that are based in the messages, and he saw things in the messages that the Virgin Mary is speaking to us for our time. That's what he was seeing. So it was unique, and it was different. It was something that was very different. And one of the things that he saw in the Medjugorje phenomenon is that the Virgin Mary said that these were going to be the last apparitions on earth, that once she stops appearing during this period of time, she won't come again. And so he understood that for the time that we live in now, we live in an age and in a time that these are messages that everyone should be paying attention to, that they actually speak to us about the time that we live in. And people when he was involved in the beginning with Medjugorje, everybody wanted to confine it to just a religious event. And even still today, we see that across the board, they confine it to just a religious event. And, you know, Terry's view of this has always been different, that God's not going to speak to us just to make us pray more, to be more spiritual. It's going to do something that's going to change the world. And you change the world by physically changing how you live, by physically affecting politics and the courts and everything else. Nothing will change unless these things change. So that's where he was saying that this phenomenon is different than any phenomenons that have happened really in the history of the world. And it's speaking to us for our time. And so, go ahead.
Speaking of some of that, some of what you have said has reminded me that the current Pope of the Catholic Church seems to be quite liberal and has said some things that don't really mesh with doctrine and theology of the Catholic Church. Specifically, his support for transgender issues, and there's been quite a few different issues that he's brought up.
And a lot of it comes straight from the Vatican as well. So include the Vatican.
In your answer. What is your stance? What is Caritas' stance on all of that?
So, you know, our stance has always been a term that Terry uses a lot. You know, he says, I'm born Catholic, I'll live Catholic, and I'll die Catholic. Nothing will ever take me away from the church. Nothing will ever take me away from the faith. And that's the position that he always holds. A lot of these things, there has been infection. It's part of the reason why Medjugorje has not really officially been approved by the church. There have been people in the Medjugorje movement that have been trying to get Medjugorje approved by the church. And Terry was always fighting against that, saying, no, the church is sick. We don't want the church touching Medjugorje. We want Medjugorje to stay out of the church right now. That it's sick. It's going to infect. It's infecting everything it's touching. It's contagious. So we don't need that element affecting Medjugorje. And so a lot of these prelates, a lot of these bishops, even the Pope himself, they speak a lot from their personal opinion. And also, too, there are also times, and Terry's spoken to people in Rome, right there in the Vatican, a lot of times things are presented to us here in the U.S. that are not exactly 100% the truth or what's being told. And, you know, we think that we communicate so well across the oceans now, and we think that we have such a connection across the world, but there still is a media power that reinterprets a lot of times what the Pope really said. So, you know, there's also elements of that too.
Well, the most important piece that we need to take away from this discussion, though, in my mind, Sheriff Mack, is if you want to learn more, to go to mej.com. I said org before, I was wrong. It's mej.com. We're talking to Ray Silva. He's the spokesman for mej.com. And we're talking about the peasants in the pew. And this is starting with some Catholic leaders that are simply saying, hey, you know what? We're being lied to about God's true teachings. You know what? Some of these leaders and these priests and especially these fake AI bots are leading people astray when it comes to the real gospel, and they're destroying the morality of the church. And I'm taking this message and saying, I agree with these Catholic sect, this group, to where I want the peasants in the pews to be all churches. Everybody's saying we've got to turn our leaders back to God, back to the true gospel of Christ delivered in whatever theological viewpoint you hold. I don't mind theological differences, but when they clearly pervert God's law to say male and female that God set forth does not exist, or, you know, some of the dishonest lies about racism or, you know, whatever, that somehow if you're white, you're a racist, and if you're not white, you're a victim of that racism or whatever different lies they tell. We have got to insist that our leaders don't fall out of the way. And so we want to take this message more broad than just MEJ.com. We want to take this Peasants in the Pews message worldwide, or at least nationwide, to say the least, and stand for the principles that made America and made the Peasants in the Pews godly. And we used to have that with the black-robed regiment back in the day, Ray. Isn't that kind of the idea here, to return to that?
That's right. And you had the great pastors at that time. You had Mayhew and Edwards and all of those incredible pastors during the time of the Revolution. And the pastors really held an incredible amount of authority. And what the reluctance in the beginning of the Revolution, really a lot of that reluctance in the people went away when the pastors came on board. And if we want to see things change, and that's a premise of a lot of what Terry's trying to do right now, is if you really want to see things change, the spiritual leaders have got to get on board and they've got to start leading this direction. And many, many times, you know, Terry said, bishops, if you would tell people to get out into the streets, they would do it. They would do it. They would follow because they're looking for a spiritual leader. But that's what's not happening right now. So again, yes, what you're talking about, the Black Robe Regiment, was that reference to the pastors in the American Revolution.
And it's a reference to what we need to do today. We, the people in the pews, need to insist. We need to bring up to our leaders. We don't need to be abusive, but we do need to be clear. Look, God teaches that there's male and female. Science backs that up with, you know, genes, and, you know, this isn't debatable. How are we falling for this lie? Now, I agree we can be kind to those people who are confused about this. We need to be gentle and loving and provide leadership and guidance and clarity, but we don't need to capitulate to that view. In fact, that's a disaster. That's an abomination before God. And so we need to follow this kind of Black Robe Regiment idea and have our pastors and our leaders and bishops and, you know, whatever, stand up and be bold and clear about the views of Christ. And if they want people to return to their churches and sit in the pews, they're going to have to toe the line, or else people are just going to continue to fall away, which has been a big apostasy to a great degree in the churches in the last several years also, Ray.
That's right. And if you go to MEJ.com, you'll see Terry's writing there the edict. It's called an edict. And read through that. It'll give you a lot of understanding, a lot of philosophy, a lot of a way of approaching this. At the very end of that is every single bishop in the United States, the contact information, the address of every single bishop throughout the whole United States. Write a letter to them. If sometimes people live in a certain part of the country and they don't know maybe who their bishop is, but even for non-Catholics, you know, look that up, find your location, and you write a letter to them and say, I'm not a part of your church, but I see that you have spiritual authority and you could be doing this, but you're not doing this. And we would support you if you did this. So again, if you go to MEJ.com, MEJ.com, look for an edict and read through that entire piece that explains the Peasants in the Pew, and you see the contact information underneath.
And I'm basically broadening this message to be all of us everywhere, whatever church you belong to, or even if you don't belong to a church, we need a clarion call for church leaders, religious people, men of the cloth, whatever you want to call it, to return to the principles, the godly principles that were once commonplace in America, Sheriff.
Yeah, that's. I thought you were going to say a call for civility. We definitely need to return to that. There's far too much violence going on, and the pretense that somehow violence is going to solve any of this. It's not. And Caritas, CSPOA, all support a peaceful revolution in America, a peaceful restoration of liberty and individual God-given rights and civil rights. Let's emulate what Martin Luther King said, that this is not a violent movement, but that we should stand firm in our defiance of evil laws and evil politicians, and stand for the truth and stand together. I have no problem standing with anyone from Caritas and the work that they've been doing at Medjugorje or MEJ.com. Thank you so much,
and
Ray.
By the
we
way,
sure appreciate you.
We're planning an event, ladies and gentlemen, with MEJ, the details of which you'll hear about soon. It's the early, early, early stages, but we really need to get this message out. There are two books you can learn about. They Fired the First Shot 2012, The David Answer, both available at MEJ.com. For Ray Silva at MEJ.com and CSPOA, CSPOA.org, God save the Republic, but we must do our part.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Not much time left, but man, what a great interview with Ray Silva. He's the spokesman for Terry Colafrancesco. And we're talking about Peasants in the Pew, an initiative by this Catholic organization, MEJ.com, to learn more about it. And they're basically saying, look, we got to return. We got to return to God's law. We can't have these pastors and preachers and leaders and bishops and whatever, you know, caving to man ordained ideas. We need to stick with God's law. And we talked about Father Justin, this quote AI bot that literally thinks it can forgive sins and, you know, taking confessions, offering sacrament. And well, they had to demote this father to where now it's not Father Justin, it's just Justin. This is the kind of perversions that we're seeing, not only from AI bots, but from leaders, and they're all caving. And so Terry over at MEJ.com is issuing an initiative. He calls it an edict, a proclamation called the Peasants in the Pew. And it's so-called Peasants in the Pew because we know we're God's children, but they're treating us like peasants in the pew. We don't matter. They can say or do anything they want for fame and fortune, money, whatever, and it doesn't matter. It does matter. We need to call the spiritual leaders in the United States to account. They're weak in defense of liberty. They're weak in standing against these perversions. We got to stand up. So there's two books. They Fired the First Shot. That's one of them, 2012. Also, The David Answer. Two incredible books over at MEJ.com. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. A friend of Medjugorje. Anyway, they're great friends of ours, too. Great people doing their best to stand with God Almighty, as we are as well. Don't let them unite the religions of the world under government control. That's a disaster. However, we can stand together as followers of Christ, right? Good. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, and God save the Republic of the United States of America.